Honorable members, let's resume our meeting. We did listen to quite a clear, very decisive presentation from the ANC Youth League. It contains also very clear proposals in terms of how even conceptually they see the establishment, the governance, and the role that the state-owned mining company could play. But surely you have some questions that you would want to ask. Let's open the floor to engage with that submission. Let's start, Honorable Ngele, Honorable Schmidt, Honorable Makagule, Honorable Mare, Honorable Bigandi, for now, and the other ends may follow later. Can we get somebody to remove this cardboard? It makes the work of the journalist very difficult, and because they want to take a picture of this handsome young man. Over to you, Honorable Ngele.
Yeah, Chairperson, the President has spoken. And that was a tetan do negative. Tetan do President. But one question, maybe it's a minor question, let me say that. Yes. Why is the ANC Youth League in Parliament? That's a document. It says, and the, that's the last three lines, and the nationalization we will discuss. And the reason why we are here is to establishment of the state-owned mining company. Nationalization will come later. Now, if we establish these state-owned mining companies, there are other mines, for instance, like the Royal Bafokeng mine. My question is, what is going to happen to those mines? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Schmidt.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You seem to, well, you speak on behalf of the ANC Youth League, that's clear. But on one of your pages, you also seem to speak on behalf of the ANC, because you indicate a nationalization we will discuss and resolve in the ANC, because it is on the agenda of the ANC. And then you say nationalization of mines will be resolved on a different platform. How do you foresee the resolution of this issue, nationalization, within the platform of the ANC, and as has been discussed with the ANC, because you speak on behalf of the ANC Youth League, but apparently also on behalf of the ANC. So, as has been discussed, or is it only an ANC Youth League document? Could you get some clarity on that? Then secondly, you seem to differentiate between the state-owned mining company, which will be the vehicle for state-owned assets and shareholding schemes as a vehicle to combine all these various shareholding schemes. But you also have a second leg, and that seems to be nationalization. Now, in the state-owned mining company, will it only be with regards to current assets held by the state, in other words, all current assets, or does it relate to new ventures? And more in particular, the nationalization effort, which you refer to so often, is that with regards to existing mines, or is the proposal you are making of a 60-40 with regards to future mines? Remember, that's a very big difference, because a joint venture like Debswana and Namdeb was formed by virtue of from a scratch position. In other words, it was a joint venture going forward, not a backward nationalization process. So is your nationalization process, which you talk of, which you would like to have resolved, a process in terms of the future going forward, in other words, new ventures, or does it include existing operations, existing mines, and existing mining houses having to comply with your nationalization program? The third issue, which I'd like to get your view on, is you indicate in one of the pages that with state ownership and control of mineral resources, South Africa will be able to attract industrial investors, will contribute to the growth and economy, transfer skills, education. On what basis do you say that? What basis do you differentiate that a state-owned mining company will do so better than what I perceive you to say, than current private-owned enterprise? Because it very much goes with salaries, and if you pay a good salary, you get good skills, you get etc. etc. You have good output, you have good resource extraction, etc. But on what basis do you say that the state-owned mining company, on by itself, will attract skills and will contribute to the growth of the economy? Because that in itself seems to be your golden bullet, if I may put it that way. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Makagula. Thank you, Chair. Chair, in the document of the ANC Youth League, thank you, President, to present such a wonderful document. In the document of the ANC Youth League, they said, we are aware that there is a difference between the nationalization and the establishment of the state-owned mining company. Parliament and the Department of Mineral Resources should correctly go ahead with effort to establish a state-owned mining company. Chairperson, the ANC Youth League, they know the platform where they should discuss this thing. And we are very happy to have such a wonderful ANC Youth League. Chairperson, you'll know that we are here from the resolution that has been taken by the ANC. The ANC take the resolution, and this is the parliament. If you can check now, it's 3 years since this resolution of the state-owned mining is not implemented, and we are going to the other conference. And I think, Chairperson, what we're supposed to do is to move fast, about this state-owned mining and open all the gates, because also we have to change this section 2025 and make this state-owned mining to move fast. Chairperson, I don't have any question about the ANC Youth League. The ANC Youth League know their right, know their way to present, know the way how to deal with their things. Actually, we are very happy to present that. I thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mare.
Thank you, Chairperson. I want to start off by saying to the speaker, he started off by saying he's a National Democrat. I can identify with the second part of a Democrat. But I just want to pop the following question to the gentleman in the sense, can he direct me in the way, in which way you envisage to give the beneficiation directly through to the ordinary mine worker? Because that's what it boils down to. Because beneficiation should be to the general mine worker. And as you stated in your document on point 22, you stated very clearly, and as we talked previously, Sanda also said they will attract skills, but that skills is for the people that is in the higher hierarchy, if it's in mining, that get better salaries. And you want the benefit to go through to the general mine worker on the ground. So eventually it wouldn't be coming to the question of shareholding maybe to the mine worker on the ground, that he will share in profits. Isn't that maybe in that direction that we're looking at beneficiation to the person on the ground that do the job in the mining industry?
Thank you, Honorable Matibela, followed by Honorable Sondo, Honorable Khululu.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you, President Julius. You've got a very a sharp mind as a youth, and I think you are going to get us out of the poverty that we are in and the sufferings that we see out there, because your paper here also shows and explains why the state mining company is going to do. You don't just say state-owned. It's going to increase the budget of the state for social development purposes, e.g. health, education, rural development, fight against crime and job creation. That is very good. That was just my comment. And thank you so much. I hope you keep it up. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Sonto.
Chairperson, thank you very much. I think the presentation talks to the core of the issue that we seek to address here. Leveling the social playing field. Now, I want to thank the Youth League for that. Just two quick questions. One seeks clarity. On the slide, the main features of a state-owned mining company. When you say the state should impose a moratorium on the provision of mineral rights and licenses, can the president of the Youth League just explain how that would affect the current operations and how do they see it taking place without, say, for instance, disturbing the current operations of mines? Secondly, I didn't see this slide now. The president of the Youth League talked about skills, the needed skills in the mining industry. Now, my question to them, what program, if any, do they have as the Youth League that links them with universities, that would enable universities to produce and retain the required skills in that mining industry? Those are the two questions that I wanted to pose. Thanks.
Thank you, Honorable Hululu.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Let me also thank the Youth League for their presentation. Mine actually is just a comment. I want to hear a comment from the president of the ANC Youth League, in that exploration and research and development are very expensive. We all know that. National fiscals actually cannot be in a position to fund these. Why don't we follow the Australian model of taxation of these mining industries, which are taxed 40%? In fact, why don't we allow the industries to play in the mining sector and we reap the benefits? I would love to hear the comment of the ANC Youth League president. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Lastly, Honorable Bigani.
I'd also like to thank the presentation from the Youth League, and to say that basically what I gather out of the document is actually a plea towards Parliament to play its role. And not having much to say on the document itself, but for ourselves as the Portfolio Committee, to actually start noting of all the issues that we've been bringing up since our budget vote. And most of those issues are issues that are actually reiterated in the document that they've presented to us. Instead, we should be able to look back and not also follow suit, as the saying would say, that South Africa has got good policies and not be able to implement those policies. The issue now is around us actually going forward on the issue of state-owned mines. The fact that there's a department now established of mineral resources And one of its key objectives is also to ensure that state-owned mining becomes a reality. Instead, we should rather look at our timelines in terms of the strategic plans that we've developed, apply our minds to how best or what best approach can be used to, as Honorable Matibele has indicated, to actually realize the five key priorities, and also ensure that those who are least benefiting, because it's been a song for some years, actually do end up benefiting. And one of the issues is that, if you remember, Chair, we mentioned something about the beneficiation strategy, where we said that the department must actually bring that strategy, and the strategy should actually be adopted by at least October 2010. So instead of us just going forward and talking the whole time, because the factors that are in here are facts that you know that should happen, we should start looking at implementation processes in our oversight. That's my comment, Chair.
Thank you very much. Those were the questions and the comments. Please respond, you think.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Just to start with the issue on the role of chieftaincies like Royal Bafokeng. What we're proposing is that the state-owned mining company must be given all the mineral rights, and the state-owned mining company will decide who to partner with at whatever level. So if the state-owned mining company see it befitting to partner the Royal Bafokeng in the mining of platinum in Rustenburg, and that is going to help our people there, then we can as well do that. Partnership with whoever in the process of establishing mining or in the process of mining, that partner should come with an added value to the state. We must look at what are you bringing and how will this benefit our people. Chair, our proposal is very simple. The state should not own through, the state must have 100% ownership of the mineral rights, and as in when, the state company, as in when it issues a license, that license should be on condition of partnership with the state-owned mining company. And that partnership, the state should not own less than 60%. And that 40% must include all the BEE policies we are speaking about. We don't scrap BEE. A 40% partner must have BEE, must have women, must have youth, must have disabled, must still pay tax, must still pay royalties out of that 40%. So that private ownership lives with very minimal out of these mineral resources. Because we want the profit made out of these minerals to remain effectively in South Africa and benefiting the people of South Africa. So that 40% takes care of all those policies we are speaking about. BEE, women, youth, disabled, royalties, and tax. And at the end, you live with what? Maybe 10% or 5%. It's not very bad, because we want everything to remain here in South Africa. We are not for maximizing profit for personal accumulation of individuals. We are not for that. We are for the whole resources spent on the South Africans, and particularly in the mining communities. And that is what we are striving for. And that is what we seek to achieve in our lifetime. We're speaking on behalf of the ANC Youth League, of the ANC, the ruling party. We are an integral part, we are autonomous, but integral part of the African National Congress. I sit in the National Executive Committee of the ANC. I know nationalization is on the agenda of the ANC. And it's only me who can tell you that, because you don't sit there. You'll never sit there until you join. So So, and that is what we're saying here. The ANC is discussing nationalization. When was it, Floyd? The last week, Friday, there was a political education engagement on nationalization as part of preparations for National General Council of the ANC in September, which will discuss this nationalization, and nationalization will be resolved as a policy position in 2012 Centenary Conference of the ANC in Mangaung in December. So it's important that you come closer to that reality, so that when it happens, you must not be shocked. We are in the process of policy formulation in the African National Congress. And if you know the history of the ANC Youth League, you will know it will happen. Because the Youth League has always been a body of opinions and shaped the policies of the ANC throughout. From Nelson Mandela's time in 1944, when he said to the ANC, before it was actually a policy, we must take up arms and fight. It was not a policy of the ANC. The Youth League resolved the peaceful ANC, the organization of gentlemen, should become a fighting force for people's liberation. And that was adopted in 1949 as an ANC policy. Armed struggle. That's what the Youth League influenced. So it has always been history like that of the ANC and its relationship with the ANC Youth League. So we need to start influencing this debate in whatever way possible, because the debate is there in the ruling party, and the debate is going to be resolved in the ruling party. We are current asset. What we are proposing is that you don't tamper with what people are owning now. We don't have that capacity. We appreciate we don't have that money. And that's why we're looking for an extra income. We can't say we don't have money and still go to the same coffers that are lacking in contributing to social development. You don't tamper with what is already existing. You leave that. Then you go for clean, open field and say, here I've got platinum. We've got platinum reserve. The belt from Rustenburg to Skukuni to Waterberg is very big. And it's not mined, and nobody has been issued with a license to mine though that belt in most of the areas where it's passing. So you say here, with a new resolution that I own this mineral right as a state-owned mining company, I want a partner who will come and mine, start mining with me in this clean, open field, which has got no mining activity. From exploration to the last production of a mineral resource. So you look for a partner. And that partner, because I own, you don't own, you must bring something. We must meet each other halfway. I'm owning this car because we are going to Johannesburg, you put petrol. And then we go to Joburg, no problem. We'll arrive in Johannesburg. So that's what we're saying.
Then it's 50-50, not 60-40.
No, it's not 50-50. It will never be 50-50. Petrol and a car will never be 50-50. Simple logic doesn't agree to that. Now, they must bring, Comrade Chair, capital. I've got a mineral here. There is a platinum here. It will never expire. Even if I don't mine it, it's okay. I can stay with it. Because if I give it to you to mine it, I still suffer. Why not keep it and suffer knowing that there's nothing happening there? People are mining, there's nothing that comes to me. The only thing I'm getting subjected to is an unhealthy environment, air pollution by trucks and mining activities, and at the end our people are even affected by diseases. The only thing our people receive from mining activities as we speak now is diseases. Nothing which helps to improve their living condition. So we can stay with this mineral, unlike giving it to individuals who are spending time in England, London, who don't know how Sikukuni looks like. They hear about it, but they own a big mine in Sikukuni. They don't know how the people of Sikukuni live, under which conditions. Theirs is an obsession with internet. How is the bank balance? Did something come through today? And if there is no sufficient, proper income for this week, they make very harsh telephone calls. What's happening? Why are we not
making progress. No, there is a strike here by the community. Who's doing that? There's Julius Malema. Find a way of mobilizing journalists. Everybody must destroy him. Because it's a problem to our profit. They don't care if the conditions of our... So we don't tamper with the current asset. But, Chair, how do we get to this current asset? Those people are mining through our license, which is going to expire. When it expires, we tell them, we renew it on condition you go into partnership with us. That's how we go to that asset. We say to them, we're leaving you, go on, you got a license under our own government, where you were permitted to mine for 20 years or whatever, no problem. It's not about me. It's about many generations to come. Even if the license expires after 30 to 50 years, no problem. That generation at that time will be happy that Mama Tibela's generation in Parliament has passed this law that we're benefiting out of it 50 years after they've passed it. So that's what many generations to come will salute us for. So we say to them, in terms of the new legislation, we can't renew as long as you are not ready to partner the state. And many companies are more than willing to partner the state because the state is the most reliable partner with lots of guarantees. It's not a risky state. So that's how we deal with a current asset and existing mines. But on the current asset of the state, that then becomes your immediate capital, Comrade Chair. Every small pocket of ownership everywhere in Limdev, where it is alleged that I'm a serious lobbyist for that mineral to be sold to other people, you say to them, you don't sell. You bring that asset to us. So you are not starting on a zero budget. There are pockets, the presentation here showed that they are state-owned mining assets, which are worth billions. That should be shifted into the state-owned mining company. And you can use those state assets to put them as guarantees to attract potential partners because they know you are worth more than $5 billion, which they showed here of what? PIC. $50 billion. You see, you bring that $50 billion and go into other smaller participation of the state in the mining industry. You bring together, you may find that by the time the state-owned mining company starts, it's worth more than $150 billion through all these small activities that are happening and they are brought together under a new state-owned mining company. So we'll not be a company that starts and requests money from a treasury. We've got owned activities. As we speak now, the state, through other institutions, has got interest in other mines. Let's assemble all those interests, put them under one house called state-owned mining company. And then those will be used as guarantees moving forward to acquire more, potential partners. The state-owned mining company will do better than private-owned mining company for simple reason, that it will not be driven by the intention to maximize profit. If it produces a coal, it will not sell that coal with an abnormal amount of money. It will sell it reasonably, and just selling coal reasonably, you are attracting a lot of investors. Just selling whatever product, iron ore, for production of steel, you sell that reasonably. Then you will attract, and you say to many people, if you come here and open a factory of steel here in Rustenburg, we are more than ready to sell to you at a reasonable price, which will not make the state-owned company lose in its profits and run on a negative budget, but which will then attract more investment. Because if we sell our minerals cheap, many people will not hesitate to come here. And if we sell coal cheap, for instance, just selling coal cheap because we produce energy out of this coal, it will be an attraction of lots of industries here because they know they will pay very cheap for energy, for instance, in South Africa. So whatever we produce as a state-owned mining company will not sell it at an abnormal amount of money. That on its own attracts investment and establishment of industries, and that establishment of industries on its own creates jobs. So selling cheap, you produce jobs on the other side through promotion of industrialization in South Africa. So the reason why we don't have such activities is because our minerals are very expensive. The reason why they are expensive is because private-owned companies are driven by profit. They want to maximize profit at all costs, and even if it means working conditions of workers are not good, as long as their profit is very high, they don't care. And that's why our workers continue to die and get exposed to lots of accidents in which could have been avoided if there was a serious consideration. So state-owned mining company also takes care of the interest of the workers, ensures that the environment they work in is conducive, because the state puts the interest of the workers and ordinary people first. And for simple reason why we are putting them first is because we want their vote. Anglo Platinum doesn't want any vote. We want the vote of the mine workers and the communities around which we are mining. And there is no way we'll sell them out, because they will know this is a state-owned mining company and this mine is doing nothing to us, and the ANC still wants to be voted into power. So we are passionate to deliver to them, because we know 5 years is coming, they are going to ask us questions. So there's no way we can sell workers out, there's no way we can sell communities out, because we still want their vote. So it's important that we've got that type of intervention by the state, which in the main will take care of the working class interest. And working class is not only workers, it's both the employed workers and the unemployed workers. That's working class. It's not we are not talking politics of workerism here. We are talking politics of working class consciousness. Ours is to ensure that we attend to both the interest of those who are unemployed and the interest of those who are employed. As to how will a general mine worker benefit, let's engage about that once we've agreed on an establishment of this important company. And then what we're proposing, Chair, is that there must be annual conferences where dividends will be declared, where a report will be presented on how we have spent the previous profits, and then discussions will take place as to how do we move forward. It must be an open conference, not this mining indaba, which is just a useless activity, which is private owned and generating income. I'm told that the people, when they attend that mining indaba, they must pay money, and huge amounts of money. And I was very happy when the president did not attend the last one, because they were so disappointed, because they were using the president to make a lot of profit. I know he will attend tomorrow and whatever if they convene, but that's what they do. That conference is not aiming at finding solution to the problems of mines in South Africa. It's just a money-making scheme where the rich and those who are having aspirations of becoming rich come together and exchange business cards, and at the end, our people are still subjected to the same condition. So we don't need that. We need a conference which will get a precise financial statement of how we have spent the previous year, and the plan, and the stakeholders in mining, they make input. Stakeholders, number one, will be workers, who will say, this is how we think we can benefit out of the whole thing. And then there must be community forums where finances are declared, like the IDP you spoke about in the municipalities. In the mining company, every year in the community where you are mining, you must go there and say to them, this is how much we have made, and we're proposing in our document, out of 100% of your profit, 40% must be spent in the local community where you are mining. 40% of that 100% of the state-owned company. You say to them, we've made so much, 100%, your 40% is so much. How do you want us to spend this money here? Then they must make input. No, we want houses, we want roads, we want a mining college here, and we want this one that you list that, and then you prioritize that, and the state, on behalf of that community, spends that money in a manner in which the community has demanded. We need an open, transparent type of a process, which is inclusive. And people who are running the state-owned mining company should not see that as a waste of time. We don't want this thing of a corporate governance type of a company. Don't want that. I can tell you with my metric, poor metric results, I can tell you what is the difference between Sasol and BP. As a layman, I don't see the difference. From my naked eye, we don't want that. We want something that will operate differently from a private company, accountable to our people, accountable to our ministry, and accountable to this type of committees. The minister must have powers to intervene. Not interference, intervene. Laziness removed. We must not be told the minister is interfering. No. Laziness removed and replaced with capacity. That's the type of a company we are looking for. We don't want a company that a CEO is going to speak a lot of English and tell us about corporate governance and how politicians are messing up the company. In terms, no, we don't want that. It is politicians at the end of the day who are accountable. It's not you. You don't stand for elections, CEO, but you tell us how we must conduct our economy. It is us who are accountable. Then we must tell our people when they were stealing money of the state-owned mining company, this is how we've dealt with this individual who wanted to mess up the company. We must be accountable. And for us to be accountable, it means we must be empowered as a state to have capacity to intervene. And I agree with Mama Tibela that this has got the potential to increase the state budget. Our budget as it is, Chair, we must all agree, it will never meet these social obligations we have. It's struggling. We are increasing it yearly, but yet, when we increase it, our budget yearly, the protest for service delivery increases as well. Logic should tell you that we are not reaching to as many people as we expect. And because we've got budget constraints, when you have a budget constraint, then it means you must start looking for an extra income. Where is this extra income? It's beneath the soil of the South African people. So we need to go under the soil and get that extra income. We need extra income to increase our budget. Moratorium, Chair, is very simple. This discussion on state-owned mining company, you know what it's going to invite? It's going to invite a possible looting of mineral resources through individual mining licenses. Because you have started this process, you must say to mineral resources, stop issuing licenses. That's what you must say. Because I know how these ones operate, the capitalists. Once this process has started, Malema is went there to make a presentation. Yes, it's possible this thing is going to come. So what do we do? Let's acquire mining licenses now, mining rights now. And then our mining rights are going to be sold like fish and chips. By the time we resolve that now we are taking over, there is very little left. So we need to pass a moratorium now and say nobody... It will not affect us in whatever way because those minerals are not contributing as we speak now to our economy because they are not as yet mined. We pass a moratorium. Can we stop issuing out mineral rights until this matter is resolved on how we want to move forward on a state-owned mining company and possible nationalization? But mining continues. There are people who are mining now as we speak, and there are people who've got mineral rights now. They don't even have capital. The earlier presentation has showed us the monopoly capital, white capital, is still going to buy those mineral rights from them very cheap and continue to mine and all that. So there will never be a mining activity which will be stopped by the moratorium on issuing of licenses or mineral rights. So we need that as soon as possible before the looting start, like they did when the collapse of apartheid was possible. They started giving themselves everything else that was possible to take before 1994. So if they see us now coming into the economy, they will do like they did before 1994, looting of our mineral resources. So we must stop that now. Comrades, you know, and this will raise with the committee on tertiary education and minister of higher education. There is this thing called autonomy of universities, and this autonomy of universities is always supported and preached by the owners of the means of production, because education is very fundamental in liberating all of us. So what they do through that autonomy, they continue to fuel our people with wrong thinking on how we need to move forward as a country. And they teach them to compete as opposed to cooperating. They teach them individualism and your success as an individual, not the success of a community and everybody else around you. So we've got a responsibility to transform higher education and our education system in general, so that it speaks to the required skills in our economy, relevant skills, which will help to boost our economy. Of course, our universities continue to produce mining engineers and all that, but we've got a responsibility to make sure that we have a massive production of the necessary skills in the economy. And that is the struggle of the Youth League at tertiary level, to try and make the tertiary education relevant to the South African economy. And the state is trying very hard at that level to make sure that necessary skills, are given to the youth and the people of South Africa to contribute to this economy. But private sector is doing very little, and in particular, the mining company. In Skukuni, Mama Tibela, she comes from my province, that's why I always call her name, Skukunile. There is a college of education which was there and producing a lot of teachers in the past. That college of education is no longer working. It's a white elephant. But there is a big mining activity in Skukuni. Why is the mining community not converting that college into a mining college and produce necessary skills for mining in that area? They will never do that because those are not their children. They've got no interest in the children of Skukuni. Here is a building. We can give it to them. I don't think the state will have a problem with that. They can partner with us. We offer them a building, and then they put the resources there. It's no longer a college of education, is a college of mining, and then produce the necessary skills for people to go and work in the mines of Skukuni, because those are their mines. Why are they not doing that? Everywhere else where they mine, in Rustenburg, why are they not producing an institution that is relevant to the skills of mining in that area? The Oppenheimer family, the richest of them all, has been mining diamond in Kimberley. What have they invested in the education of the children of Kimberley and Northern Cape? We have a crisis of alcohol in that province, but yet there is a mineral which is not used to give this youth, which has surrendered to alcohol and other drugs, an opportunity to learn and contribute positively in the growth of that province called Northern Cape. They must be ashamed. Simple things, establishment of a college, it doesn't even tamper with their profit. It's a drop in an ocean in what they are making out of that diamond. They built a well-equipped, world-class college in Northern Cape, give it facilities and produce young people who can polish and cut diamond in Northern Cape. Why are they not doing that? They are waiting for the state to do that. Because private sector has said it, the problems of South Africa in terms of unemployment and social ease is a problem of the state. It's not our problem. They've removed themselves from our problem in as a country, and they've identified themselves outside this country. So if they are not going to do that, then let's take over and do it ourselves with the profit we make out of those things. Exploration and research being expensive, and not why are we not saying we are taxing these people. It will never be expensive on our part. Because we are bringing minerals, we look for a partner who has got capital. Yeah. I can't just partner with you, even if you look very good, but you must contribute something. You are my partner because you've got a role here. So the state-owned company should never spend a lot of money in exploration and all manner of things. The state must just say, this is what I have, my precious minerals. And then I'm asking you to come and invest here. And then we mine together. And there is nobody. I mean, we can say to this person, look, if anything goes wrong, we're here. We're your partners. There's no way we're going down. And then in terms of capacity and skills and all that, if the best skills are found in the private sector, that is what they will also contribute in this partnership. But I must say, every day, if we go to liquidation offices, who are Jen here, we go to liquidation offices, there is another company being liquidated today, private company. It's not true that Eskom and everything else are the ones which are performing badly. Every day, private companies are closing down. Every day. You don't mention them because you want to prove a point that the state is failing. Eskom has not closed down. It's still there. That's why you are here. We can see you. There is a light here provided by Eskom. So Eskom has not closed down. Many, many, many untold stories of corrupt activities in private sector which lead to closing down of private companies. So it should never be an excuse that no, the state companies are failing, therefore, no. Even many private companies are failing. Petro SA is a state-owned company. It's doing very well. You will never mention it because it's going to defeat your point. You're always concentrating on peripheral issues. I one day want to engage with whatever relevant committee on the mandate of Eskom, which we are always told here, Eskom is failing, Eskom is failing. Because the mandate of Eskom is to provide us with energy. If there is a load shedding, that's where I agree Eskom is failing. Eskom should not be judged on the basis of profit. Its primary objective should be to provide energy and sustain itself. I have a problem if they've got a problem, they don't have money to sustain themselves and they run to the state. Yes, there I have a problem. But primary responsibility of Eskom is to give me energy. And if there is energy, well and good, I'm happy with Eskom. They can sort out their mess inside there. Whatever the mess should never lead to me not having a light, because that is what will make all of us very angry. So the state-owned companies, there are many that are run successfully, and therefore we should never be misled here that state-owned companies fail. There are many private companies which are failing, and if we were to think honestly as individuals here, for sure each one of us, including our friends on the other side, will tell us not less than 5 companies that they know which have gone down, including in the U.S. Private companies which have caused a mess we find ourselves in now, in the whole world, because of irresponsible activities of U.S.
Comrade President, that you have a passion in the subject matter before us. Let's ask your delegation to round up. And if there are other outstanding questions, there might be follow-up questions from members. I think this engagement is very important, and we don't want you to leave without us exhausting questions that we have.
No, thanks, Chair. I think just want to substantiate on the question of why are we not utilizing the Australian model of increasing tax and everything else. Like, the state-owned mining company will not be about the state fiscal only or the state budget only. There are lots of other policy objectives that we can achieve through the state-owned mine. We have mentioned that primarily the local beneficiation, local industrialization, and the changing of the pattern where the South African economy is over-reliant on exporting of natural resources and everything else. We need to process our own mineral resources locally. But also we want to develop some of these mining communities. We cannot have very few economic centers when the population is growing so rapidly and everything else. We need to establish new economic centers of development. Skukune, Rustenburg, Emalahleni, and a variety of other areas that have got potential to deal with most of these issues. So that is one thing that we're dealing with. It's not only about the money, there are lots of other policy initiatives that we can be able to achieve through a state ownership and control of the mineral resources. So that is the centrality of the issue and everything else. So the other issue about skills and everything else, like if you can do a proper assessment of the skills intensity of the whole issue of the mineral chain, it's various levels. So where there is labor intensity, the skills intensity is not very high. So we can be able to absorb as many people as possible into sustainable employment in South Africa, like people who are not skilled or who've got intermediary skills and everything else. We can be trained for even 6 months to could deal with the very, very important components of the economy. There's an example which is given consistently of India that employs more than 800,000 people in diamond polishing, processing and cutting, but does not have as much diamond as we do. What will happen to South Africa if we can tomorrow employ 800,000 more people? Going to contribute to lots of other economic development realities. So those are some of the issues that we're locating these issues from. And I don't think that Parliament, even comrades from, the colleagues from the opposition should be petty to want to oppose nationalization because it's reasonable to do so in a state-owned mining company. Let's rally behind this and move forward, all of us. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Honourable members, I don't know if there are any follow-up questions. Honourable Schmidt.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We seem to agree on one thing, that there are problems. But the problems seem to be, and we seem to agree on the cause of the problems, because it's clearly a lack of Department of Energy, or Minerals rather, enforcing what is on the statute book. It is the 26% BE, the affirmative action issues, the state social labour plan, the Mine Health and Safety Act. But that is a monitoring. It is due to departmental failure to ensure that the government's policies are not implemented. And therefore, some of the causes are the reasons why you stipulate. But that's where our agreement stops, because the way in resolving the problems is not by nationalisation or by a state-owned company, but it's by making sure that the policies which are already on the book are implemented by government. That is the solution to the problem, because like the Director General stated himself the other day, the 26% is there to ensure that there is a critical mass of funding, of empowerment for people to empower themselves, or to make sure that other people empower themselves within that framework of a 26% BE restructured company. So the solution is different. The solution which you propose, with due respect, will lead to disinvestment, will lead to more problems with due respect, and not a solution to the problem. We agree on the problem there and why it's been there, and the government has not done what it was supposed to have done. But the solution lies in there is in ensuring the monitoring and the policing of what we have in the statute books. Thank you, Mrs. Chair.
Would you care to respond to that?
No, I don't think we are agreeing, because that can be very misleading. You see, once we don't agree that this type of an initiative will resolve our problems, then we're not agreeing. You see, BEE and all that, I don't want to talk about BEE, I've got my own problems with it. You know, BEE has not resolved the problem of the broader society. We have seen an emergence of individuals, you know, and I'm very happy for them. We must never criticize them, we must never be mobilized against them, because they are inspiring confidence in all of us who were excluded in the past, that if Mrs. Radebe can do it, what stops me from doing it? Because, I mean, you come from the same community with her and all that. You know what has been a suffering. And in that way you get inspired. But here we are speaking about a broader intervention for everybody. A state mining company will not be judged according to how much it has made. It will be judged on the basis of how much have we invested in that community where you have mined. Have you built roads? Have you built schools, well-equipped schools? Have you built proper health facilities? BEE is not speaking to that. It's speaking to blacks, individual participating and taking for themselves. So they are no longer different from those we found in this mining industry who were just benefiting on their own. Amabujwamnya. You see? Black bourgeoisies. You know, capitalism knows no color. You can be a black capitalist and exploit people. So we don't want that. This BEE, yes, personal accumulation should be there, business practices should be there. They must never be scrapped. We are not a Stalinist or a Hitler's type of a government system. Yeah, we are a democratic government. Private ownership, private participation in business should also be encouraged. No problem about that. But how do we resolve the problem of this broader community, which has got no interest in going into business and being BEE? But I want to benefit, because benefiting from the mineral resources should not mean getting 100 rand every day. Should also mean that this mineral resource, after making profit, it should develop me in terms of skills, education, health facilities, roads, and all manner of service issues that are needed in this community. And that is what we want the state-owned mining company to be concerned with. And Floyd responds to this question very nicely. The reason why we are not interested in increasing taxes is because we are not obsessed with money. We need a proper economic intervention that will change the lives of our people practically, and that will make their, you know, their living environment very conducive. So BEE has not spoken to that, and therefore we are proposing on top of BEE, not the scraping of BEE, on top of BEE, this is what we are proposing, that we need a state-owned mining company which will be obsessed with redistribution of wealth amongst the communities where they are mining as a priority, and the people of South Africa, and whatever remains then should be added into the national coffers to enable the state to then address its social program. And we can do it. You know, the sooner you accept that we can do it, the better. Because like 1994, Comrade Chair, we were told that we'll never govern properly because we have got no experience of governing. Worse, we can't have a prisoner president who doesn't know, who has been very far or away from reality. This man is going to run down this country politically. There will be civil wars and everything by the same people who are today praising him, Nelson Mandela, and using his name to insult us who produced him. Because it's us who produced Nelson Mandela, and we're told, this country is going to go down. You know nothing about governance. The same noise they are making today. Yes, we knew nothing about governance, but we learned inside. And give us an opportunity to also learn about this economy from inside. We'll never learn when we're outside. We must learn from inside on how to run a successful economy. And in that way, we'll make mistakes and we'll be prepared to learn from those mistakes and move forward to build a better economy that will benefit all the people of South Africa. You can call it whatever. Because some of you, you agree with these proposals we are making. The problem is a weight nationalization, for instance. You are just so scared of the weight nationalization. And when one of my comrades said, nationalization will lead you to socialism, yeah, well. without knowing what socialism is, you just know that thing is wrong. You are scared of way. And I don't know why. We can't be these sensitive people who have got very thin skin and are not prepared to sit in there and fight forward for what we believe in. What we all believe in is that there must be an intervention. And this is a practical proposal we are putting forward. If you don't agree with it, put your own alternative.
Okay. Yes,
sir. You know, I think one issue that we should correctly dismiss as just sensational false alarms is the whole question of disinvestment. Disinvest what? From what? Where are we going to go? We've got platinum in South Africa, we've got gold, we've got diamond, we've got all the mineral reserves. We're in charge in terms of mineral resources. So where are we going to disinvest to? Implant is mining platinum in Zimbabwe and everything else, and complying to all the laws that are being passed in Zimbabwe, including the Indigenization Act that says that within 5 years, you should have had the 51% owned by indigenous people or by the state. So I think that those issue of disinvestment must not be even entertained and everything. It's just sensational false alarms that are meant to scare the whole situation. We're not doing this in an abrasive way. We're saying let's work together and move forward in terms of the greater state control and ownership of minerals. There's no crisis, there'll never be a crisis. The stable counter will remain stable. There'll be change of property relations, though.
Thank you very much.
I just want to make the last input here on the investment. You see, people keep on lying to us that we're chasing away investors, this economy will be a crisis, and all men, and they know they are not being honest. Investors are investing in countries which are characterized by civil war. They keep on mining blood diamond. They keep on processing that blood diamond. They are financing rebels in Africa. For them to continue mining and not paying royalties and complying with the laws of those countries. Investors are looking for money. They don't care where that this money comes from. It's money. Whether people died or not, they've got no morals. Capitalism has got no morals. They just want to make profit. And people must stop lying to us. The investors, you know, I grew up in a township called Sishio. In 1994, when we took over Chair, they withdrew all their factories. Factories were empty. They left. We remained here. And after they saw that this democracy is sustainable and peaceful, they came back. They wanted the factories back. The factories were occupied. Other investors came in. And what is more important, international development, is that there is now a strong competitor of what in the past used to be traditional dominance of the economy, the West and all that. The Chinese are competing them. And if they are going to run away from a democratic debate and they say they are disinvesting, Chinese are waiting, ready to come in. So it will be a miscalculated move to withdraw because the Chinese will come in. And once they come in, by the time you come back, these mineral resources, we are sharing them with the Chinese and we are moving forward. So it's not worth running away. Let's debate it and present alternatives. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Honorable members, ladies and gentlemen, we had two other presenters ready, women from Northern Cape and Legal Resources Center. You would observe that we have allowed the two presenters more time. The reason being that we are starting a very serious process.
And therefore, it's very important for us to listen to details of the views coming from organizations and individuals that are going to present. And so that when we apply our minds, we have all the necessary information at our disposal and arrive at a correct decision. The process is going on Friday again. We will take the remaining presenters as the very first people, and because we don't want to disadvantage any one of the group of the people that are going to talk to us by giving them 5 minutes. And that, therefore, we'll deal with the matter on Friday. And that, indeed, we would be going in a study tour to countries such as Chile, to countries such as Venezuela. We can say to you, Yuslik, your point 52, the call you are making to us that we need to be decisive. Indeed, we will be decisive. The president has declared this parliament, this fourth parliament, as an activist parliament, which therefore means that whatever we do, we must do for the benefit of the people of this country. And that he even qualified some of his instructions by saying that we must do things differently and faster. So which means therefore that we will see this process to its ultimate conclusion within the shortest possible time, without rushing it. But indeed, we will be decisive in terms of what we will do as the portfolio committee. Let me thank yourselves as the Youth League. You've given us your documents, you've given us your proposals, and thank also SAMDA. They've given us their documents, they've given us their proposals, and on Friday we will also listen to other stakeholders. But we will start with the two that we have requested today not to present, and followed by others that we have confirmed that they will be coming on Friday. Let's go to lunch. Where is it? Is it arrived? Okay, all of us stand invited to a finger lunch that will be served in front of this chamber, and that afterwards we will meet in the house. On Friday, again, you are all invited to come back here so that we continue the process. Okay, the meeting is adjourned. Thank you very much.
I'm going to ask the Mr. Secretary to be sure about this afternoon. It appears that it's adjourned.
Sorry to rush.
I wasn't now where you journalists get your reports in so quickly. Thank you.